it may just be your failure, your defeat, your dark moment that God is using in your life to transform you.
This is Straight Talk.
Good evening. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio, a ministry of Pastor Mark Job of New Life Community Church in the city of Chicago. My name is Joshua Hollick, and we are so blessed to be able to serve you tonight the powerful, life-changing Word of God. I'm live in the studio with Pastor Mark Job. Good evening, Pastor Mark.
Hey, good evening.
God bless you. You know, there's so many people that find themselves listening to this radio station. Some of them may find themselves far from God tonight. Maybe they once followed Him and found themselves astray, or they never really knew who God was. But could you just give a word to somebody feeling like that tonight?
You know, if they're listening right now, if you're listening right now and you're far from God, I am so glad. Oh, I'm so glad that you're listening, because I believe that inside of your heart, you want to go home. You know, Joshua, it's always that way. We get homesick when we're away from our house too long. And if you really have experienced God and tasted of His goodness and walked in fellowship with God, if you're far from Him, I know that there's a homesickness inside. The Spirit of God drawing you back. And I want to remind you, it's not too late. God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. In fact, I love the story of the prodigal father who's just waiting for his son to come back and embraces him and hugs him. And Joshua, that's what comes to my mind right now, is the father with his arms open wide embracing the prodigal son.
What a beautiful picture. You know, Pastor Mark, do you know of a good church in the city that somebody might find themselves in on a Sunday morning?
Well, you know, I believe there's a lot of good life-giving churches around the city of Chicago. But find one that preaches the word, that worships God. And New Life, obviously, is in and around Chicago. And if you don't have a good church to go to, then we would invite you to drop one by one of our locations that may be near you. And you can find a list or a map of those locations if you go to our website at www.newlifechicago.org.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Well, we would love to have you in one of our services this Sunday. And for now, we pray you'd be greatly encouraged by the Word of God.
Thank you, Josh. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Glad to have you with us. We pick up where we left off with the second half of our message entitled Cooperating with God, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Experiencing God. Our text will be found in the book of Exodus chapters 2 and 3. Let's join Pastor Mark.
This is about God, and it gives me great confidence to know that the work that God has started even in this church and throughout the city is a God work. Doesn't depend on one man or a team of people. This is a God work. It has been raised by the power of God. But never try to do in the power of the flesh that which can only be done in the power of God. Moses tried to do God's work in his power, and he crashed and burned and failed because he was trying to do the right thing the wrong way. So what God does is God takes him through a process of purification. D.L. Moody put it this way: Moses spent the first 40 years of his life thinking he was somebody. He spent the second 40 years learning he was a nobody. And he spent the last 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. I like that. So finally, God leads Moses to the desert. He leaves this big metropolitan place of power. Now he finds himself in Podunkville, out in the middle of the desert, living with nomadic people, becoming a shepherd. And God did something to Moses that I think transformed his character more than anything else. Some people think it was living in the desert that made Moses humble. Other people say it was being a shepherd for 40 years that made Moses humble and formed his character. I believe that getting married and having children really did it to Moses. He married a woman by the name of Zipporah. He had two sons. One he named Gershom, which means, it tells us in verse 22, Moses named him Gershom, which means I have become an alien in my foreign land. That's kind of mean naming your son that way. It's like, hey, I've become an alien in a foreign land. Is he in the nursery? A long name tag. But I believe that one of the things that God did to Moses is he got Moses married. He had him have children, and he gave him a job that wasn't very flamboyant, the job of a shepherd. Now, I think our Western world has idealized what it means to be a shepherd. We see these pictures on these portraits of a shepherd with a nice little white woolly lamb carrying him, and we think, wow, it must be something to be a shepherd. But you see, I grew up in a town in northern Spain called Rubena. My best friend was the son of a shepherd. I grew up around this, my friend, and I would help him with the sheep sometime, and his father would take about 400 sheep every day out into the hills around the town where I lived, and he would take care of the sheep. And I'm going to tell you, being a shepherd is not this lofty, nice, idyllic position. This guy would smell like sheep. It was a dirty, nasty, looked down upon job, even in the village where I lived. And these little nice woolly sheep usually weren't clean. They were muddy, dirty, stinky, and dumb. And everybody, even in the village, sort of looked down upon the shepherd. And so Moses, who was raised as an Egyptian, actually the Egyptians despised the shepherd. So now Moses had this routine, day-to-day job. He's married, two children. He's learning maturity. And I believe that sometimes the way we learn maturity is through responsibility in life. He was a young, energetic, idealistic, proudful young man. God said, I'm going to have to humble him. So he got married. There's nothing that's brought me greater joy in life than my marriage and my children, but there's nothing that's humbled me more and giving me more patience than being married and having children. It just, you know, it humbles you. It causes you to grow. It causes you to change. It causes you to realize who you are and have patience. And when they're young, changing dirty diapers and getting spit up on and waking up in the middle of the night and realizing that you don't know everything and having little kids and feeling like, oh God, I don't want to mess up these kids so that they spend years in therapy. Lord, help me to do a good job. It's a humbling thing. All of you, those of you that are parents, understand the challenge and how you feel, how intimidated you feel at the prospect of raising children. I think it's true to every young new parent. And Moses, after 40 years of doing this, God was humbling, changing his character. God was preparing him. Moses probably thought about this time that God was done with him. After 40 years of being married and raising children and having a job, ideas of being a liberator, ideas of being used had sort of gone out of his system. Now he didn't see himself as a liberator. He didn't see himself as someone that would set his people free. Now he simply saw himself as a father. As a shepherd, as a regular man. But it's about that time in life, after we learn humility, after God teaches us that He is in control, after we learn through the grind of life, what it means to take on responsibility. And I talk to young men all the time about this topic, and they want to be used of God, and I say, great, great, you know, but you know, get a job, learn to work. They want to get married. That's great. You know, graduate from high school first. Get a job. Get your GED. Move out from your parents' household. Learn to save some money. Learn to do your own laundry. Learn to pay rent. Grow up a little bit. Learn some maturity. And then you can begin to lead a household. The second thing I want you to understand is this. I'm talking about what it means to cooperate with God. We must encounter anew the greatness and the power of God to move forward in cooperation. So finally, it tells us at the end of chapter 2, during a long period of time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and He remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites with concern about them. So 40 years have passed. It's been 40 years since Moses had to run from Egypt. It's been 40 years that he's lived in the desert. 40 years that he's held this job, this routine job. 40 years that he's been married and had children. 40 years that he's living pretty much a normal life. His ideas of the past have gone. And here's what I want you to know. Some of you, when you were younger, had images of what God was calling you to do. And you attempted them and you failed at them. And you've long since put them aside. But it just may be that God revives the dreams and visions of your past when you're ready to handle them. Are you hearing me? Some of you have been through major failures in your life, and you look at the major failures as Moses looked at his major failure and thought, no, I blew it. But it may just be your failure, your defeat, your dark moment that God is using in your life to transform you. That God is using that to build and mold and form your character. You see, no mistake of your past goes wasted if you allow God to use it in your present and your future. No mistake of your past. Some of you feel disqualified for your future because of mistakes of your past. Some of you feel like God could never use you or that there is a handicap because of your past. But I believe that God is great at taking the mistakes of our past and using them to form us and prepare us for our future. And so now, 40 years later, Moses is about 80 years old now. Now, he was a young 80-year-old. I want you to keep that in mind because he lived to be quite old. And back in those days, 80 years old is not as old as it was today for us. So I don't want you to picture this hunchback little guy barely surviving. I mean, he was in his prime time, so to speak, middle age for those years. And Moses is tending the flock of Jethro's father-in-law, the priest of Midian. I'm looking at chapter 3, verse 1. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. This would also be later called Mount Sinai, where Moses encountered God with the Ten Commandments. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over, he looked. God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. All right, so Moses is tending the flock. He's out in the desert alone. He doesn't even own sheep of his own. It's his father-in-law's business. So for 40 years, he's working for his father-in-law. Imagine that. He doesn't even have his own sheep. He's out in the middle of this arid, rocky desert. He goes to the side of the mountain and something catches his eye. It's an unusual thing in the desert because there's not a lot of shrubs or bushes. Usually there's thorn bushes. And out of the side of his eye, he sees something. It looks like a fire. Now, a fire in the desert wasn't that uncommon. But he looks over and it seems like this fire continues on. And it catches his attention.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Cooperating with God. It's from our series called Experiencing God. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. His message, cooperating with God.
And he's drawn over to this burning bush, and this unusual thing happens because this bush is burning with flames of fire, but it's not being consumed. It burns, but it does not consume. And as he approaches this burning bush, then suddenly, out of the midst of this bush, a voice says, Moses, Moses. Now, there's a couple things I want to draw your attention to in this. Number one, Why would God use a burning bush? Why? Well, a couple of people have talked about different reasons why he would do it. The Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. He consumes, but he doesn't burn. I think one of the reasons he used it was simply to get Moses' attention. You see, God did not speak to Moses until first he got his attention and Moses was willing to take a closer look. It's what theologians call a theophany. It's a manifestation of the pre-incarnate Christ. God spoke to him from the bush, from inside of the bush. Now, here's the thing. I believe that many of us have burning bushes in our life that God uses to draw our attention. Oh, it doesn't have to be a literal burning bush, but sometimes it's a person. It's an experience. Let me ask you this. What is God doing in your life right now that he's trying to get your attention? Sometimes it can be a crisis, and God is waving his arms in the middle of your crisis and saying, I'm getting your attention. Sometimes it's a medical report that comes in our direction. Sometimes it's through a person. Sometimes it's through the death of a parent. Sometimes it's through a near-death experience in our life. Sometimes it's through this aha moment where we wake up, but God is waving his arms from a burning bush saying, I need to get your attention. You're living your life as though I were not here. You're finally at a place where I can talk to you now. He's waving his arms from the burning bush saying, I want to speak to you. Now, will you stop and listen to the voice of God? You see, the burning bush, it's a place where God captures our attention. It's a place where God calls us out. It's a place where God redirects it. It could be through a place, a person, an experience, but it's an encounter with God that reveals God in a fresh new way. Moses approaches that bush, and then he hears his name called out, Moses, Moses. Sometimes when we're in the middle of the desert, we think we're alone. In the middle of the arid, dry places of life, we begin to think God has abandoned us. God is not aware of my plight. He's unconcerned with my story and my journey. He's left me a long time ago. Does God even live in a place like this? I love the way that Charles Swindoll in his book, Moses, A Man of Selfless Dedication, puts it. He says, although we may feel like we are alone in our wilderness experience, we are not. Whether you have known it or not, felt it or not, believed it or not, God has not taken his hand off your life. It's dry, it's lonely, you feel dismal and sad, but whatever your emotions may be telling you, the Bible says you are not alone. See, I believe someone needs to hear that this morning. It may be the desert of a lengthy struggle in your marriage. It may be the desert of a bout with depression that's really hung on to your soul and spirit for a long time. It may be the bout of a job transfer, economic difficulty. It may be the bout of spiritual dryness where you've walked away from God and you feel like I've been walking through the desert for a long time and you've been saying God doesn't care, God is not here, God is distant. I haven't seen, felt, or heard from God for a long time. And in your mind, a little voice is telling you God does not care. How could God be here and care? If he really cared, things would be different. Some of you had felt the loneliness of the desert. The loneliness of sensing and feeling that you're going through this all alone. But in the middle of the desert, after 40 years, out of a burning bush, God says, Moses. You see, the God of the universe knew his name. The God that has never had a beginning and will never have an end knew the name of Moses. The omnipotent God that created the heavens and the earth. The sovereign God. The God who is omniscient, knowing all things. The God who is omnipotent, who has power over all things. The God who is sovereign. The God who angels fly around day and night declaring his holiness. This infinite, majestic God knows the name of a shepherd. He knows the name of a desert father. I love that about God. He knows your name. You see, this morning, right now, God knows your name. He calls out to Moses. And then he says this to him, "Do not come any closer." Moses says, "Here I am." And he says, "Do not come any closer," God says. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid. You see, God says to him, "Hey, Moses, don't come any closer because this is holy ground. Take off your sandals." You know, in the Eastern culture, why they took off their sandals? It was a sign, much like in our Western world, when someone takes off their hat, it's a sign of reverence. When you take off your sandals, it has a little bit of a different meaning. It means it's a sign of defilement. You are recognizing, "I'm a defiled person," because you see, the bottom of your soles is probably the most dirty thing about you. When you walk into a house, we say, "Please wipe your feet," because you never know what your feet have stepped on. There's all kinds of junk out there, isn't there? And it's kind of the dirtiest thing about you right now is the bottom of your soles, and it's a sign of defilement. And what it means when God says, "Take off your sandals," he's saying, "Moses, I know your past. I know that you're defiled. I know there's things in your life. I want you to take off your sandals because this is holy ground." And Moses took off his sandals in a sign of, "God, I know there's issues in my life. I know I have a past. I know that I have dirt in my life. I take off my sandals because I'm in the presence of a holy God." And what made the desert sand holy was the presence of God. So here he is, 80-year-old man. Sandals off, barefoot, in front of a burning bush. And in essence, God says to Moses, "Moses, I've heard the cries of my people. I want to do something about it. And I want you to go for me. Join my plan. Cooperate with me." Here's how I'm going to end this morning. Oh, this is huge. This is huge, and I wish I could communicate this. God this morning is inviting every single person in this place to cooperate with him in accomplishing his purposes. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God has a call upon your life. And God is asking you to join him in his plan, asking you to cooperate with him in his plan. It's not about you, it's about God and his purposes. It's when you come to the end of your rope and you say, "God, life is not about me, life is about you." And listen, this is the way it works. When you finally begin to cooperate with God and set aside your identity, set aside your plans, set aside your dreams and say, "God, you are at the center of my life. I will pursue you." Then you will never be more fulfilled than when you begin to cooperate with God and follow God's plans.
This has been Pastor Mark Jobe in the second half of his message called Cooperating with God. It's part of our series called Experiencing God. Please join us on the next Straight Talk as we get into the next message in our series. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.